Welcome to the But You're Wrong podcast. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Padilla.
Make sure you check us out every Wednesday, every Saturday on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Be sure to check out But You're Wrong Facebook page, facebook.com/ButYou'reWrong. Please give us a like on there and follow us on Twitter at BYW Podcast.
And on YouTube at youtube.com/BYW Podcast. If you like Keith, make sure you check him out on the Amazon Kindle Marketplace. We now join the But You're Wrong podcast, already in progress. I've heard something similar before, but yeah, what happened to this guy?
All right, here's the weird thing. This is on the news, but I guess they found this guy back in February. So I don't know entirely what happened. I didn't really read about it. I heard a little bit about it on the news. But you know when you're watching the news, they're like, hey, guy woke up and he only speaks Swedish. Doctors say it's happened before. Story at 11.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're just like, but I don't want to watch it at 11.
That and your weather later.
I watched Seinfeld at 11.
Yeah. What are your kids drinking at school? Tonight at 11.
Or they'll actually tell the story, but it will be really brief, and you're just like, all right, well, that was a waste of time.
Nothing's worse than when you see a story you want to – or you like they tease a story, and you're like, oh, you know what? I'll actually watch for this. And they don't do it until like the very end, like right before they do the credits, and they're just like, yesterday – kid falls out of an airplane. He landed on someone's front yard. He was fine. When reached for comment, the police said that they had never seen anything like it. Well, that must have been a surprise for the homeowner. and then the music starts, and they're like, "Oh, thanks." And then you see the little things on the bottom that tell you who supplied the wardrobe for the newscasters.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
You hear somebody you can tell somebody's like, stretch, because they're like 20 seconds under or something like that.
Yeah.
So the one person's like, huh, I wonder, you know, did he just not mow his lawn or did he land in the pool? Huh.
Yeah.
But that's a story he'll be living off of for years.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And then you're like, I waited a half an hour to hear that. They didn't tell you anything.
This is literally a story that I heard on the news. Almost verbatim, I think. At like the 5 o'clock news. Cause we were like, hey, let's turn on the news to find out if it's supposed to storm tonight or like when it's supposed to cool down. So, cause we could look it up on our phones, but like, I honestly have no idea where the radar map on my Weather Channel app is. Like,
yeah.
I have no idea where to find it. So I was just like, well, it's, you know, it's 5:15. They should be covering the weather again soon. So we'll just turn it on. So we turn it on and they cut to the woman. She's like, pretzel battle brewing in Pittsburgh, or in the area. I don't know if it was specifically Pittsburgh, but so-and-so owns the patent on making pretzels that look like peace signs. First of all, I thought they all looked like peace signs. I don't know what specific pretzel they're talking about. But then they were like, and then she found out that two companies were making pretzels that had, that also used the, that were also made, like, producing pretzels that looked like peace signs. One was in Lilts, Pennsylvania, and the other one was in Attleboro, Massachusetts.
Never heard of it.
And then they were like, well, we'll have to see what happens with this twisted story. And I was like, I can't believe that just happened.
Twisted story.
I was just like, oh, God. First of all, terrible pun. Second of all, you wasted 30 seconds of my life telling me something about pretzels that just confused me more.
Yeah. Because
they didn't show it. There was no, like, footage, and they were like, they produce pretzels like this, but so-and-so owns the patent for it. And they didn't, like, interview her, and she was like, well, I'm really upset about it. They were just like, yeah, she filed charges against it.
So it's like, they look like peace signs. So, I mean, like you said, all pretzels kind of resemble peace signs, but does that mean Like, are they maybe they're perfectly round, or not perfect because it's a pretzel, but they're rounder? I don't know.
You know, I'm just going to go to
the same twist is in the middle.
I'm just going to go to Google News and search pretzels.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of.
Of course. Why would you have a picture? Oh, wait. Nope. That's just an ad that loaded. Never mind. I was hoping it would be a picture. It's just an ad for outlet shopping.
Oh, yeah. Right up your alley.
Yeah. Pittsburgh woman sues over peace sign pretzels. I don't... All right, hang on. Let's see.
I'm holding.
To produce pretzels shaped like peace signs. So maybe the pretzels literally look like peace signs. Like,
I don't know.
Like, maybe I'm overthinking it and being like, oh, all pretzels look that way. But maybe not. Maybe it's just a peace sign, but made out of pretzel. But I don't understand how you can have a patent on that, because then...
Well, I mean, you're right, that sounds crazy. However, there is also a guy who owns the rights to Happy Birthday, so...
Yeah, but they wrote the song.
No, I don't think he wrote that song.
Well, he might own the rights, but two people wrote that song.
No, I don't necessarily think the guy who owns it has anything to do with the writing of it. I think he just realized that no one owned the rights to it.
Okay. Who owns the rights to Happy Birthday? It's like Mildred and Patty Hill or something like that.
I don't know.
Maybe like their like son or something owns that. Oh wait, okay, hang on. Happy Birthday, who owns the rights? ABC News. June 14th, 2013. This is...
Wow.
This
I'm surprised they did an article on it that recently. Stuff. It happened in like the 80s, I thought.
I mean, maybe it's like the Michael Jackson thing where he bought the rights to the Beatles stuff.
Yeah.
Let's see.
It was written by Patty and Mildred Hill.
Okay, yeah, I knew that. And it looks like the music company Warner Chappell, a division of Warner Music Corporation, required her to pay a licensing fee of $15,000, is what it's saying here, for a woman who wanted to produce a documentary about the history of Happy Birthday.
Wow. Alright, let me see here.
Happy Birthday has a long and complex history dating back more than a century. The melody comes from song Good Morning to You, which sisters Mildred and Patty Hill composed at the end of the 19th century. No one has claimed even to write the words to the song Happy Birthday to You because it started with Good Morning to All, Pollock explained. Somewhere along the line, someone starts singing Happy Birthday to You, but it wasn't Warner Chappell who wrote the words and has the copyright.
Aha, uh-huh. Okay.
See, because I thought that Mildred and Patty Hill still, like, their estate still had...
No, I don't think so.
Well, okay, see, here it's saying that Warner Chappell Company is claiming to own the rights.
Yeah, I see that.
So, but that's a company that's saying that it owns
the rights. It was a guy.
I don't think it's a guy. Are you sure it just wasn't a representative of the company that you saw talking?
Maybe it was just, like, the douchebag who was representing the company. Or maybe, like... He was like, hey, guys, we should buy the rights to Happy Birthday. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, maybe... let's see. The show is...
Well, kind of either way, whether it's a man or a company, I think we found out it's a company. The fact of the matter is that you have to... You're supposed to pay them. If you want to put Happy Birthday in your movie or your TV show or something, that's why they always sing for He's a Jolly Good Fellow. And it never makes any sense because you're like, no one actually sings that.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Let's see. A common rumor holds that Paul McCartney owns the publishing rights to Happy Birthday to You, but that rumor is false.
I've never heard that rumor.
That'd be awesome
if
he did.
Paul only loses rights to songs.
Although Paul McCartney did buy up many song catalogs after seeing the publishing rights to most of his Beatles songs slip away in a series of bad business deals. he does not own and has never owned the publishing rights to Happy Birthday to You. And yet another bit of irony, Michael Jackson, who was introduced to the benefits of song ownership by Paul McCartney himself, eventually outbid the former Beatle for the publishing rights to the Lennon-McCartney catalog.
Yeah.
Who does own the publishing rights to Happy Birthday to You? They were acquired by a New York accountant named John F. Singstack.
This is the guy. This is the guy I'm thinking of.
Hang on. When he bought the Clayton F. Summey Company, or Sumi Company, in the 1930s, Singstack eventually relocated the company to New Jersey and renamed it Birch Tree Limited in the 1970s. Warner Chappell, the largest music publisher in the world, purchased Birch Tree Limited in late 1998. For a reported sale price of $25 million. The company then became Sumi Burchard Music, now a part of the giant AOL Time Warner Media conglomerate. According to David Singstack, president of the company, Happy Birthday to You brings in about $2 million in royalties annually, with the proceeds split between Sumi Burchard and the Hill Foundation. Both Hill sisters died unmarried and childless, so the Hill Foundation's share of the royalties have presumably been going to charity or to nephew Archibald Hill ever since Patty Hill passed away in 1946.
Patty Hill? Wasn't that Hank Hill's wife?
I think so. Now, okay, so...
That's the guy I was thinking of, though.
The guy bought the publishing rights, but now the publishing rights... Well, it looks like, okay, so the publishing rights, so they have the publishing rights. I mean, I'm guessing the Hill Foundation still has the copyright.
Okay. Yeah, you might be right.
Somehow it's split between them so that they share it.
It's interesting.
Yeah. I really want to watch this documentary now, the one about the history of Happy Birthday, because it sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah. It's weird. It's very, very strange that someone owns... It's just weird that someone owns the rights to that song. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I guess it was supposed to lapse into copyright... It was supposed to lapse into public domain, but then there was the Copyright Act of 1976 or something. And they were like, well... Now it's extended for however long...
Well, yeah, and I think I just read something that in Great Britain is actually going to revert to public domain fairly soon.
Hmm. Well, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, so then in British movies they can use it without having to pay these jerks.
But if the movie is released in America, don't they still have to pay?
Oh, I don't know. You might be right.
I think they do.
Man, I didn't even think of that.
I don't know. All that shit's really weird.
You know what's kind of cool? The guy who invented Peter Pan, when he died, he left the rights to a children's hospital so that they get all the royalties.
Really?
And so they can stay open.
That's really cool. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. That's like a good use of copyrights.
Yeah. I leave the copyright to a children's hospital to help kids.
Yeah.
That's cool. I never knew that.
Yep.
All right, so back to this guy. Wait.
Yeah, that was off. How did we even get there? I don't even know.
Well, we ended up on the pretzels.
Oh, copywriting pretzels. Yeah, That's how we got the...
Well, it's not a copyright. It's a patent. But I don't understand how you can patent a peace symbol, because a peace symbol is obviously in the public domain.
I guess so. I don't know.
It's one of those things that just... You know, I don't think has ever been like nobody's tried to patent it. So they're just like, well, but I don't understand how you can patent like a shape. Like, well, I guess you're patenting the pretzel in that shape. So I said,
yeah, because you're not patenting pretzels, because no one can really do that.
Yeah. So if I made, a pretzel in the shape of like a Mustang, could I patent that and be like, I have the patent to make pretzels in the shape of Mustangs?
Now, I'm not sure if you could patent the shape, though. Wouldn't it be like you could make that and make a brand name and then patent the name with the shape?
But that's not what they're saying here. They're saying...
They're saying the shape.
Okay, that's... What is... Hang on. Okay, the woman's name is Leslie Friend.
Huh. It's weird.
Oh, she's suing two companies. Okay. Keystone Pretzels of Lititz. Obviously a German name town. Lititz. And Laurel Hill Foods of Attleboro, Massachusetts. The former, being Keystone Pretzels of Lititz, makes peace symbol shaped pretzels, and the latter sells them, according to the complaint. That's not copacetic with Miss Friend, because she purchased a patent for the peace symbol shaped pretzel. The patent was issued in 2000 to Michael Lamont of Eugene, Oregon, according to an exhibit attached to the complaint. She acquired this patent with the intent to start a pretzel business. She was in the process of building this pretzel business. It's been taking her 13 years to build this. Or no, okay, the patent was issued in 2000, but that's not when she bought it. He said he did not know why Miss Friend was intent on making peace simple shaped pretzels. I don't know why she was doing it, but said she's a very nice person and the symbol makes a nifty pretzel. That's in quotes.
A nifty pretzel.
It makes a nifty pretzel. Then she discovered the competition. An exhibit to the complaint shows photographs of Laurel Hill pretzel chips in sea salt, honey multigrain, and everything varieties in the peace symbol shape. Attempts were made to amicably resolve this matter. There have been discussions between Miss Friend and counsel for the defendants. No treaty has been reached.
Treaty?
So she sued. Miss Friend wants to receive a royalty or the company's total profits from selling the pretzels, increased damages for willful infringement, attorney fees, and an injunction preventing further infringement.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
She's asking for a lot.
Yeah. First comment, that's a lot of dough. Son of a
bitch. God, these puns are killing me.
Here, let's see. Let's read some of these puns. Sure, but the whole thing is just twisted. The other company's success left her feeling salty.
Are people really writing this?
Yes. I can't make... It's twisted pretzel logic.
The others were better.
Let's see. It's
That's a lot.
And then the last one. Way to go, Leslie. Follow your dream.
Oh, shut up! You couldn't even make a pun.
Wow. Anyway. So I guess that's the pretzel deal.
Wow.
Apparently, it's really easy to try and get a patent, though. Like, somebody's trying to patent podcasting and is going after like the big people and filing suits and stuff. I don't know whatever happened to that. So I mean, one day we may get sued and they might be like, I own the ability to podcast, like the patent for podcasting. But I feel like you can't really do that because it's almost like just recording radio, you know what I mean?
And you'd be like, sure, you can have all of our profits.
Yeah, tell you what, I'll give you all of our profits. Let me just write a figure onto this piece of paper and slide it across the table.
How does it make zeros?
I just take a piece of paper, I slide it across the table. Hopefully it's in like a huge conference table. So like a ridiculously long table. It's like the dining room table in the Tim Burton Batman movie.
I was going to say, in Wayne Manor.
So, like, I get up and I just slide it the whole length down, just walking next to it. And I slide it over to him, and then I walk all the way back, and he's like, there's nothing on this paper. Exactly.
It's actually a negative amount. And give him a bill.
if you want part of this business, you owe us money. That's...
Because that's how much we've made so far.
It's actually a very itemized bill. It says one case of VO. Is that...
Hey, that's a very necessary
and it says thing. You're claiming a case of boxed wine? Yep. No, that yep. seems about right.
Yep. A lot of Sam Adams. Ugh.
why is one condom listed on here?
Just a single condom.
we don't talk about that night.
Don't you remember when Craig went out to visit Keith?
You never even listened to our show, did you?
So I just realized how we got to this point. I totally forgot. I didn't even remember what we were talking about, but it's the guy talking Swedish.
Yes, yes.
And we talked about the news and how stupid the news is.
Yes, the news is terrible. But
and
okay.
It got to the pretzel.
It's a story that is captivating people on both sides of the Atlantic.
No. Oh. Yeah, all right. I was thinking, I still think we were talking about the pretzel. And I was like, no.
There's a guy in Germany that's like, my father invented the pretzel. Where's my money?
It's wait, what wait. Accent was that?
I don't know.
Was he a Saudi?
I don't know. Anyway, I was trying to do German, and then I just started laughing, so it didn't work out too well.
Okay.
On February 28th, the Desert Sun newspaper reported, a man was discovered unconscious in a Motel 6 in Palm Springs.
Can you even imagine what went on?
So, well, here's the thing. The guy that discovered him, was he that surprised? I mean, it is a Motel 6 in Palm Springs.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's not the first time that someone's woken up, or not woken up, in a Palm Springs Motel 6.
He was taken to the hospital where he awoke in the emergency room. Four pieces of identification the man carried indicated that his name was Michael Thomas Boatwright.
Boatwright?
Boatwright. Boatwright.
Wow. All right.
Maybe it's just right. Maybe the boat is silent. But the man couldn't remember his name and didn't recognize his own face on his California ID. He believed his name was Johan Ek.
Okay.
It's just the last name is just EK, so I'm assuming that's Ek.
Is EECK is Ek?
No, it's just EK. So what's EK?
Okay.
He spoke only Swedish. Today, more than 4 months later, Boatwright's caretakers know a little bit more about their patient. He was probably born in Florida. Is a veteran and spent some years in Sweden during the 1980s, but Boatwright reportedly still doesn't remember much about his past and still isn't speaking English. He remains hospitalized while medical staff figure out how to release him safely into the world. I know they mean, like, safely for him, but it just makes it seem like they're like, I don't know if we let him go. He might flip some shit up.
Yeah. I mean, what can I don't know. How much can a Swedish guy really do? Or a fake Swedish guy?
They're like, if we release him into the world, he's just going to go around to people's homes and put together shitty furniture.
I mean, it looks okay, but it's just really cheap.
I mean, it'll last him like a year tops, but while stressing, while stressing that they had not examined Boatwright directly. Neurologists and psychologists contacted by the LA Times said that the man's condition most likely stemmed from a psychological rather than physiological cause. Dr. Robert Bright, a psychiatrist at the Mayo Clinic in Scottsdale, Arizona, said that he looks for one of three different things when he encounters a patient with memory loss and identity loss. First, he said, is the possibility that some sort of medical organic thing has caused an insult to the brain.
An insult?
Yes.
Okay.
Some sort of medical organic thing insulted his, said something very bad about his mama. And the guy just lost his shit.
His mother was actually Swedish.
such as a traumatic brain injury, a stroke, a seizure, loss of oxygen, or an infection is actually what they mean. In such cases, however, patients usually have memory loss around the time of the incident, but are unlikely to lose their sense of identity or their ability to speak in their native tongue, or to forget more remote events in their lives, Bright said. Doctors would usually also see something abnormal on an MRI, he said. Thus far, there have been no reports of red flag test results in Boatwright's case.
Uh-huh.
It would be highly unlikely for this to be because of a problem with the brains, agreed UCLA behavioral neurologist Dr. Mario Mendez.
Oh, that New Jersey accent coming out.
You were hoping that I was going to say Mario Lopez, so was I.
No. Well, no, I said your New Jersey accent.
What'd I say?
Mario.
Oh, so Mario?
Yeah. Every once in a while, I get it.
Events from the distant past are relatively retained, especially if they're strong, personally reverent items. Things you've heard all your life. From a neurological point of view, it would be very unusual to lose such fundamental information. The second and highly more likely possibility, the Mayo Clinic's Bright said, was that there was a psychological cause and the patient is experiencing what's known as a dissociative fugue, or global psychogenic amnesia. With such patients whose unconscious break from reality may be a form of self-protection, there tends to be a wall. They don't remember anything. So what happened in the Motel 6 that it was like, oh no! And then his brain was like, I have to protect us.
what a jarring encounter this must have been. What kind of a prostitute was this?
We'll assume that he thought it was a woman, and we're not sure what parts were underneath. A lot of these people will have a history of psychiatric condition, depression, for example, or PTSD, and there's typically an acute stressor that triggers the event, he added. We don't know what might have happened to Boatwright, but his brain may have essentially shut down and gone back to this other time and place, Sweden, for a reason, Brighton said. Maybe Sweden was a place of less stress for Boatwright, he said. Okay.
Yeah, I can see that.
The third possibility, Bright added, is that Boatwright is malingering, consciously making the whole thing up to avoid some kind of trouble.
Well, yeah.
Bright said that determining when patients are faking memory loss is difficult for psychologists who usually can make that call only when they figure out what the patient gains by lying. You find out the patient is wanted or is about to go to prison. If Boatwright's identity loss does stem from psychological causes, Bright added, his doctors and nurses should be able to help him pull out of it by treating the underlying issue, offering psychotherapy or medication to address depression, if that's indicated, or working with family to alleviate relationship stress, if that was the trigger. Let's see, because I thought I saw something about somewhere on TV or something, they mentioned a woman that woke up one day and had a French accent.
I've heard... Oh. Well, I was going to say that happened to Madonna, but it was a British accent.
Yeah. Because I want to find out what causes that. Now, here's my question. If it's... Because they say it's a... not really a common thing, but I guess, like, something that has happened before.
Yeah.
Where a woman will just, like, have a break and just, or somebody will break, like, have a break and just start speaking in another language, or they'll, like, have a foreign accent or something. Now,
yeah, is it, I have heard of it before, yeah.
Is it a good accent?
Oh, what do you mean, like, is it, like, sounds authentic?
Yeah, like, okay, if it let's say it happens to me. Let's say I go to a Motel 6.
Yeah.
Something bad happens.
Get all jammed up.
And then I wake up, and I still kind of remember who I am, but I speak with a British accent. Now, yeah. we know how bad my British accent is at times.
It's not very good.
But does my brain in this traumatic event suddenly go, like, does my brain suddenly start working overtime and take, like, okay, well, he watched a lot of Doctor Who and a lot of Top Gear, and using all this information, I will piece together, like, what's going on.
It right, because, like, obviously you're physically capable of doing a British accent, and if you probably really practiced at it, you probably could do it pretty well.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just...
But if if I practice at it, but if I'm just doing it for the show, man, whatever.
You're right.
But does my brain in my unconscious state go, all right, let's piece all this shit together and give him, like, a passable British accent?
Right. I don't know.
Because if that's the case, then let's get to Motel 6 right now.
Like, what if it happened to me, but my British accent was like my Harry Potter voice? And it was like that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
That would be bad. And that is not passable.
And all the time, I was just like, excuse me.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm Harry Potter.
And that's how
and
I
then
like,
just all the
talk.
Time, I'm like, excuse me. Can I get a room for the night? And they're just like, what is going on?
I'm staying the night with Dumbledore. And I just keep making dumb references.
I was going to say, for whatever reason, your brain is also forcing you to make references to Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah. That would be bad.
you just see a bird bath and you're like, oh my goodness, it's the Pensieve.
it'd be great.
Try to watch Die Hard with you, and you're just like, oh my goodness, it's Snape there. And I'm just like, really? Like, can't you just knock it off? I'm assuming you're faking.
Dude, I would lose all friends that I currently have. People would just hate me. I wouldn't blame them.
I would much rather you did the... You did the John Lennon accent.
Oh, yeah. That would be more tolerable, at least.
That would be so much better.
It's definitely still dumb, but it's not quite as obnoxious.
No.
And we could discuss topics.
And we could still do the podcast then.
That's true. Exactly.
I'd say. Oh, the sister of an amnesia-stricken Florida man said she hadn't seen him in nearly a decade and didn't know he was alive until his bizarre story made international news this week.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't talked to him in years. He just disappeared. Michelle Brewer told the Desert Sun newspaper. Were they just, like, not really looking for him? Because they knew his name. Like, he had identification on him. You would think that they would be able to track him down somehow.
Yeah, I mean, isn't there some sort of record on this guy?
In, like, 4 months, you think they would be able to be, like... Or you would think that this would make international news sooner.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Is there anything new in here? Raised in Florida, he served in the Navy. Served in the Navy in the early 70s, has been married twice, and has a son. He spent much of the last 14 years living and working in China and Japan. But it remains a mystery why he was in Palm Springs. A duffel bag filled with exercise clothes and tennis rackets suggests that he may have been in town for a tennis tournament, and it's unclear what caused his memory loss.
I mean, he could have been in town for anything, and he's just being weird.
The official diagnosis is transient global amnesia, which can last for several months.
Oh, man. Can you imagine when he finally wakes up from his little state? Do you think he'll remember all this? You know, like, do you think he'll be like, oh, my God, what have I been doing for the last few months?
Do you think he'll wake up and be like, oh, my God, I killed a guy? I killed someone.
He'd be like, I actually cut open the mattress in that Motel 6, stuffed his body into the mattress, and then sewed it back up, so you might want to go check it out.
I'm surprised he hasn't been found yet.
He hasn't been found because the hotel room itself smelled so bad that no one noticed an extra smell.
Plus, nobody goes to Motel 6, but...
Well, yeah.
After growing up in Miami, Boatwright first visited Sweden in 1981, French said, where he learned to speak Swedish and hooked up with a girlfriend, Uwe Espling. Espling told the Sun they planned to marry, but Boatwright broke it off, complaining of being troubled by the things he saw in Vietnam. Ah, see, they said PTSD in the other one. He was restless inside and tried to find outside peace. I do think he found that in me and my family, Espling told the Sun. Oh, of course you say that now, because he can't disagree with you.
Yeah. What's he going to...
She probably cheated on him, and now she's like, no, I was so nice.
Yeah, we were so compatible.
A report in Swedish newspaper, Aftonbladet.
What is with these people's names?
Said, well, that's the name of the newspaper.
Oh.
Said Boatwright visited the country several times between 1981 and 2003 and was known to have participated in medieval jousting competitions.
Oh, nice.
Friends there.
Maybe that's what he was doing with the tennis rackets. Maybe.
Friends there hadn't heard from him since the late 90s. Swedish pal. Oye Salin told the newspaper. Wait, okay, so you know what? This Swedish pal probably wasn't his pal if he had been there in 2003 and, you know, didn't talk to him, but whatever. I'm sure you guys are still friends. It's fine. There's a picture of him in chainmail.
Oh, nice.
Is
he a weirdo? Does he look weird?
Not really. I mean,
he's obviously a weirdo.
It kind of looks weird, but I mean, like, he just looks like a normal dude for the most part.
Okay.
I'm sure he acts a little weird. Now, do you think? I guess not, because they probably would have mentioned it, but they haven't mentioned it yet in this article. But, if he was into like jousting and stuff, did he think he was a knight, like in like a Swedish knight? So were they trying to, like, fix him, and he's like, and in Swedish, he's like, what is this amazing torch that you carry? And
oh, like, yeah, maybe
he... Yeah, and he was, like, being freaked out by all, like, the modern technology and stuff, and he was like, get away from me, you witch!
So now, have they brought someone in that speaks Swedish to make sure that he's not... I mean, I guess he speaks Swedish. I don't know.
You would think that in 4 months they were able to find somebody who speaks Swedish. Like, I'm sure in Palm Springs they were like, we need to find somebody that speaks Swedish. And they were like, all right, who's in Palm Springs that, you know, is able to speak it? And then they were like, well, the closest person is, you know, probably several hundred miles away, but.
Or they'd be like, oh, you know, Phil, he works in the emergency room. His mother is Swedish.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Bring, call her.
Get him in here and see if he could. Or it's like, well, we know this guy that speaks Swedish, but he only speaks Swedish and German, so we gotta get this other guy in here to speak German to English.
So by the end of the telephone line, it might not be correct anyway. You might not even know what anyone's saying.
Yeah. They're just sitting in a row, and then Boatwright is like, I have to pee. And then by the time he gets to the German guy, he's like, I think he said he has to masturbate. I think that's what he said.
And then all of a sudden he starts pulling down his pants, and they're like, ah, no! Of course, I guess you wouldn't want him peeing anyways, but...
Let's see. Well, you know, this one has articles, quotes from, this article has quotes from him. So I guess they must have somebody. Oh, wait, hang on. Is this him speaking? I think I may have found a video here.
All right.
Okay, it's four minutes and 43 seconds long. So I'm assuming it's probably not all that. They probably do a voiceover, and it's just him sitting there, and he's really just speaking. Oh, here we go. Members of a local Swedish-American community who have become friendly with Boatwright guessed that he spoke Swedish while living in the country in the mid-1980s, but may not have spoken the language much since then. So they found, like, the local Swedish...
conglomerate?
Yeah.
That's weird.
They brought him to IKEA. And yeah, just waited for somebody to.
They were standing in line for meatballs.
And he was like, "What is this strange invention here?"
What do you mean, the place of the meatball?
Probably both.
Yeah.
Man. That's crazy, though. Can you imagine just, like, not knowing who you are?
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, I said, yeah, but no, I couldn't imagine it. But then I guess you wouldn't really, if you were in that situation, you wouldn't really know it. Yeah, it's like one of those things, like, if you were ever in that position, you wouldn't know what you didn't know. So it's hard to imagine not remembering remembering the previous, you know, 30 whatever years of your life. But then if you try to put yourself in that position, it's like you can't. It's like how can you pretend to unknow everything? It's so weird.
A duffel bag in the room contained other clues, including some exercise clothes, 5 tennis rackets. Here's the thing that got me. 2 cell phones.
2 cell phones?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds a little iffy, if you know what I mean.
Who has 2 cell phones?
Drug dealers? Criminals? CIA agents?
Guys having affairs?
Guys having affairs? Man, I went straight for the big time.
Yeah. You were like assassins. Spies, ninjas, probably have 2 cell phones.
Yeah. Like what did I say something about getting killed by a ninja before? Yeah, same thing. This guy, he could be a Swedish ninja.
Could be. Let's see. Hang on, I'm looking up transient global amnesia. I'm trying to see if it's symptoms, progression. See, none of these articles talk about the woman that, like, woke up speaking with an accent. That's what I want to know about.
Yeah.
I want to know if I can have a really cool British accent. Like, how do I make that happen? Do I just have to slip into a coma watching Top Gear? Because I'll do it.
I mean, if you want, I could beat you over the head until you start talking weird. Maybe it'll come out as a British accent.
I mean, if I could make it so that I just sound like Jeremy Clarkson, I would be fine with that.
Yeah, if you just practice at it, you can do it, and you don't have to worry about forgetting shit.
I don't know, but maybe I'm just saying, maybe there's some shit I want to forget.
Like that night with the condom.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
I mean, pardon me, sir, I don't know what you're talking about. I seem to have forgotten where I am. I just don't know. Why do you think they have jousting tournaments in Sweden? Because I don't really think of Sweden as like a place where they would do a lot of jousting. Like, I feel like Sweden is not a medieval place. But no. You think it was?
No, well, I mean, I guess I don't really know, but to me, it doesn't seem like it. I don't know. I've never thought of Sweden as like a medieval knights and jousting and gross hair kind of place.
Why the gross hair?
You know, like the medieval times when they had that just like long, raggedy hair that was very unkept, you know?
All right, fair enough.
I think of the hair and the beards and everything when I think of medieval times.
I don't know, maybe they did.
Well, I mean, they weren't shaving, I don't think.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, I'm saying maybe the knights. Maybe they really did have knights in Sweden.
I thought we were back to the hair, sorry.
The House of Nobility in Sweden.
The House of Nobility?
But this is in the 1700s. I don't know. Oh, wait. Swedish Knights, picture of Museum of Medieval Stockholm. Yep, okay, I guess they did have knights.
Well.
You just don't think of it, really.
No, you don't.
And then there's a picture of a woman leaning out a window with bread on it. That's a picture after the knight. They were just like, and then the medieval woman leaned out her window and sold bread. All right, I guess that works. All right, well then let's just wrap it up there.
This has been But You're Wrong. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Bodelo.
Remember, everyone, no regrets. And if you fall asleep in a Motel 6 and wake up with a British accent, hopefully you sound like Jeremy Clarkson and not Mad-Eye Moody.